Exchange 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An intense search for the suspect in the murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Midtown Manhattan. Police have released clear surveillance video of his face.
Sources say he arrived in New York November 24th on a bus that originated in Atlanta. Greyhound saying in a statement, we are fully cooperating with authorities on this active investigation. Police are investigating whether the shooter left the city on a bus after the killing.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Seoul, South Korea. Protesters outside the National Assembly calling on President Yoon Suk-yeol to resign for his botched attempt to impose martial law. An arson attack at a synagogue in Melbourne, Australia. The Australian Prime Minister condemning the anti-Semitic attack. Police are searching for two suspects. This morning's report from the Labor Department showing the U.S. added 227,000 jobs in November. That's more than the 208,000 that analysts expected. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says he has selected a new secretary nominee for the Department of Natural Resources, but so far has not shared that person's name. The position has been vacant for over a year as Governor Evers and state Republicans spar over a number of his nominations. Earlier this year, over half of the Natural Resources Board was also kicked by the state Senate. Governor Evers says finding a suitable candidate has been difficult over fears that the Republican-controlled state Senate will again vote out his nominee. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development's Workers' Compensation Advisory Council will be hosting a public meeting on proposed legislative changes next week. The council will host a public hearing on Tuesday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. in Madison, but residents from other areas of the state will be able to join virtually. The link to join the public meeting virtually can be found on the Department of Workforce Development's website. The Advisory Council is also accepting public comments on the legislation through January 10th. An arrest warrant has been issued for an Amory man accused of assaulting another man and pointing a gun at him in Barron County. According to court documents, 46-year-old Trevor Olson was charged with two felonies for threatening to injure someone and possession of methamphetamines as a repeat offender. He was also charged with misdemeanors for the alleged assault and disorderly conduct. Olson faces up to 6 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000 on the charges. Authorities have not yet taken him into custody. More Barron County families will have gifts for their kids this holiday season after this week's Shop with a Cop event. According to the Barron County Sheriff's Office, 75 kids joined about 50 law enforcement officers at Walmart and Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Rice Lake this week to select gifts for their parents, siblings, and themselves. Each kid was given an allotment of $200 to shop with through the Law Enforcement Foundation of Barron County. The families invited to the event were selected with help from local school officials. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored three touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all, you know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College Hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today in the low 20s with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low in the low to mid teens. Tomorrow, a little breezy, partly cloudy, 36. We'll get to near 40 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Matt Rothschild takes the host seat. Catch Dom back on Monday.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. We made it to the end of another week.
Yeah, man. And Calvin, it's going to be 50 degrees, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a big change from yesterday. Yesterday was... chilly.
Wait, 50 to
no,
50 today?
No, Sunday.
Oh,
yeah, and hype and you know, 47 on Saturday, man, and then 48 on Monday. A veritable
Indian summer.
Yeah, only Sandy would come up with
if that's politically correct. I'm not sure,
but. Native American summer.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my co-host Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. In fact, now that I hear that it's going to get warm, and I've got my ice rink to build, and I'm going to do it this weekend. So maybe I'll do it in the warmth.
I was about to ask if you had started it already.
No, I haven't started it, and I've been procrastinating. Last year, it never was cold enough. I put it up, and I could never put water in it because it was going to be a swimming pool and not an ice rink. But we'll see.
Well, you know, I was looking at the weather, and they said even with this cold start to our winter, Sandy, we are still listed as one of the warmest years in history.
I think it's confirmed that it will be the warmest year in the world's history, at least. I don't know about which locale within the world, but the world at large, apparently, it's going to be the warmest year, and which is, it keeps setting that record year after year, basically. So
Sandy, you and I, we've got a lot to cover, a lot to talk about, but I would be remiss. We watched the Packer game last night. I will tell you, a Thursday night football game that mattered, that had intrigue, that had excitement, that had great football, that had, you know, all the way down to the wire. You couldn't have asked for a better football game.
Well, I could have asked for a better game because it could have ended up the other way. I told you, I had this premonition that when they went up by a field goal instead of a touchdown at the end, I thought, when they used a field goal to tie the game rather than a touchdown to go in the lead, I thought, yeah, this isn't going to go well.
Well, Sandy, and it, go ahead.
Well, and it didn't, you know. So it's kind of infuriating, and it's the formula in the NFL. But you know, in the second half, the defenses tend to go into this prevent process, and it seems to prevent touchdowns, but it doesn't prevent field goals is the problem.
Well, you know, Sandy, that game, you know, we watch the Central Division of the NFL just be a sloth trough for a long time. The Bears, the Vikings, the Lions, the Packers. Yeah. And so we could never, you never thought of them for decades almost, you know. And now all of a sudden, it's the best division in football.
Yeah, by a mile.
Yes.
You know, they've got three of the four teams have winning records, and the winning record of the conference at large is like 850 or something. I mean, it's unbelievable, actually. Well, three of the teams are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, three of the teams are going to make the playoffs. They're without question very, very tightly, you know, talent-wise. There's not that big a difference. The Packers really are a very, very talented young team. The Lions aren't an old team, and the Vikings aren't an old team either. They're going to be good for some time to come. The Bears are a team that's coming up, and it's – look, man, it was what I wanted to see, except for, you know, this should be –
except for the end.
Well, yeah. plus it should be outside. You know, it's the Central Division, it's the Black and Blue Division, and you and I remember a time when they would have been playing, slogging through that cold weather last night, which I think would have had a difference, yeah. Would have made a difference if that game was played in Lambeau Field.
Yeah, and I think when the Bears finished when I saw the rendering of the new Soldiers Field, I think it's got a roof too, so the Lambeau will be the only outdoor field in the conference.
So when do you think the Packers are going to get a...
They'll never get it.
No, no, man. They're never going to do it.
And Buffalo is building a stadium that doesn't have a roof over the field. So,
but it covers. You know,
the spectators. Yeah. So they don't have to. They don't have to shovel the stands anymore.
Right? But, anyway, Sandy, a lot to get to this morning, and I want to begin with the House GOP set for the tiniest vote margin possible. With all of the fanfare and all the excitement that, you know, the people who supported the Republicans and Donald Trump, we just saw, Sandy, with the small margin, you know, that, you know, the Democrats, when they the last time they had control over the House, when you've got such a small margin, there's not a whole lot that you can actually get done. But this is one of the tiniest in history, Sandy. Let's talk about the impact. Even though the Republicans control the presidency and the Senate, with all the different things that Trump and the Republicans are talking about, with that narrow margin, how much can actually get done?
Well, you know, I have to look at the Senate, too. I mean, all of those Republicans in the Senate are not MAGA Republicans. Collins from Maine and Murkowski and a number of them are independent thinking senators. So it's not going to be that easy to corral caucus discipline in the U.S. Senate. And in the House, you know, it's going to be razor thin. It does take a fair amount of chutzpah for a Republican congressperson to stand up against the caucus in a situation, because congressional people, I think, feel more vulnerable to getting primaried, and the power of the president to threaten primaries. They run every 2 years. You know, they're constantly thinking about getting reelected. So there will be some real nasty kinds of efforts to discipline everyone in that Republican caucus. But I don't think much of what we're going to see from Donald Trump in the early years, in the early part of this, is going to involve legislation, quite frankly. He's talked about things that require legislation. We'll be talking about some of those later in the show, like who gets taxed and on what. But I think the primary things, the activity we're going to see early on, are going to be exercising the power of the imperial presidency, or the attempt to exercise powers of an imperial presidency, and not so much legislation. But to the extent that anything controversial is proposed, I think it'll have a great deal of trouble passing. Those the filibuster power on a lot of things that the Senate can hold up, and the House is razor thin.
But Senator, you and I had spoken about the fact that Donald Trump and his power to terrify elected officials to go along with him, whether they agree with that or not. Because all he has to lose is one, maybe two Republicans.
Like I said, though, it takes some chutzpah for those one or two to stand up to him, because his power of threatening primary opposition is probably greatest at the congressional level. It's easiest to find candidates there. Those people stand for re-election every 2 years. And there are a number of those congressional seats are comfortably Republican seats. But then the question is the incumbent Republican comfortable with the primary? And a lot of the power that's been exercised by MAGA Republicans in terms of disciplining people has been in those gerrymandered or at least reliably red seats where the Republican primary decides who it is that comes to Congress.
So Sandy, Tony says we're going to see how strong that executive order power has become quickly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But there's no question in my mind that Trump and the Project 2025 concepts that I think they'll be trying to implement and the stuff that's going to be proposed by Ramaswamy and Musk is all going to be pushing the envelope on the power of the presidency, the power to impound money that's been authorized by Congress, the power to order the army to do things, for instance, in terms of rounding up immigrants. There's going to be a whole range of things, the foreign policy powers with respect to tariffs, the power to constrain activity in various agencies. Can he really harness and defeat the power of the EPA, for instance? And what is it that he'll do with respect to the Federal Reserve?
So, Sandy, so Mike Johnson, the Speaker, may somehow have less power this time around than he did last time.
Well, he's going to be herding cats. And it's going to be, he's going to be a busy shepherd dog trying to hold the caucus together when you've got such a fragile margin. I mean, that's a fool's errand almost to be speaker in a situation where you've got a razor thin margin.
855-752-4842. You know, it's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. A House GOP set. For the tiniest vote margin, we're going to so many different things that we're going to be talking about, this morning on the Earl Ingram Show. We're going to be talking about Biden considering preemptive pardons for officials and allies. We're going to talk about the American dream. Is it dying? The housing crisis, five reasons why Trump will govern like no other president in history, on and on and on. With Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
the 500 square foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s. And it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. So Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about not being too surprised about things that people might describe as surprising. So, you know, what's unfolding now shouldn't really surprise us at all, you know, in terms of the Trump administration. It's what he told us was going to be happening, and the shocking part of it now, I guess, is that it's all happening. But yeah.
So, Sandy, do you think that, as we were talking about before we went to break, so many people are expecting those promises that Donald Trump made to become a reality? And even though government as we know it is going to be forever changed with this Trump presidency, there's certain things that he just can't, even with what he's attempting to do, and even with Project 2025, they're not just going to be able to wave a magic wand and then everything disappears and goes away, are they?
No, well, absolutely not. I mean, the logistics, first of all, just the logistics of what he's talked about and what Project 2025 talks about, firing 5,000 federal employees, or at Project 2025 dreams of even firing 15,000 and then replacing 15,000 employees is a logistical nightmare, right? I mean, it's not easy to go out and find 15,000 people who know how to do what needs to be done in each of these jobs in government. And then applying loyalty tests to them and expecting to find competence and loyalty simultaneously in a broad range of people. The ability to for instance, the promises he made regarding taxes, the notion that Social Security income wouldn't get taxed is not something the president can do. It would require congressional action. But the fact is that Donald Trump made thousands of promises, it seems, I mean, hundreds at least, and his followers all embraced the ones that were promising as far as they were concerned, but all of his followers, all followers would make apologies for him and say, well, he's not really going to apply tariffs across the board. That's just negotiation for those who didn't really believe that tariffs across the board were a good idea. And he's not really going to cut Social Security taxes. Everyone knew that when he made the promise. And so all these promises were made almost tongue in cheek, designed to entice people to vote for him. But none of his followers could stand up right today and tell you which of those promises he's going to even try to implement, much less which ones will get implemented. And implementing many of them is a very difficult process. I mean, the president has some powers of the presidency that allow him to unilaterally do some things in the areas of foreign policy and tariffs. There are some capacity for him to control the activities in the executive branch. But for instance, the expenditure of money that's been authorized by Congress, the ability of the president to bottle that up and not spend it is something that clearly I think will get tested, because I think he will try to. It's called impoundment, where the executive says, I'm not going to spend the money authorized by Congress. And there are some narrow exclusions from currently the Supreme Court's prohibition against the president impounding money that's been authorized by Congress. But I'm confident that with the help of Ramaswamy Elon Musk, that he's going to try to expand his capacity to not spend money authorized by Congress.
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So Sandy, what you just said, so Joe Biden has authorized and the Congress has authorized the infrastructure money that's authorized into the future. What you are saying is Donald Trump can't now come in and prevent that money from continuing down.
Being spent.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, there have been Supreme Court cases. There was a test back in the Nixon era. There was a subsequent test. There were tests a couple of times before that where presidents have tried to exercise the power to impound the money, to simply say, I don't agree with the expenditure of that money that's been authorized by Congress, and I hereby prohibit that agency from spending the money. But the fact is that the Supreme Court, in all those circumstances, said there is no power of impoundment on the part of the president. Money authorized for expenditure by Congress must be spent, and only in the circumstance where there are programmatic difficulties in actually spending the money can you defer the expenditure of that money? Can you defer it for a while you work out those difficulties? But I'm confident that they will go back to the Supreme Court on this issue, that they will try to impound money, and there will be people withstanding to bring that case before the Supreme Court, questioning the power to impoundment. So I think what we're going to be seeing in the early years of this presidency is a lot of litigation, quite frankly.
Well, Sandy, there's a new Supreme Court, though. There's a Supreme Court with its fingerprints all over it.
Absolutely. That's why I think that they will be emboldened to ignore prior Supreme Court precedent on an issue like impoundment. And they will definitely be trying to stretch the power of the presidency into something much more like an imperial presidency. And one of the imperial powers would be to decide whether money gets spent or not, regardless of whether Congress has authorized it. And so, you know, that's an area. And similarly, the ability to fire 15,000 federal employees. I mean, there's probably 3,500 where it's clear that the president has appointing powers. But everything beyond that is going to be subject to litigation and test, I believe.
All right. Trump promises to end taxes on Social Security. Sandy, and you know, taxes on tips and those kinds of things. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Sandy Williams is my co-host. You can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday with Earl Ingram and Sandy Williams.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court is poised to consider a case involving a conversion therapy ban. Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call filed the lawsuit after the Republican-controlled state legislature blocked a rule that would have banned the controversial practice years ago, arguing that the move violated the state constitution's separation of powers clause. The state Supreme Court is expected to hear oral arguments on whether the state legislature overstepped their constitutional bounds in the case in mid-January. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing recycling tips to help residents save money and reduce waste during the holiday season. Along with the gifts at this time of year comes a lot of items like cardboard and batteries, which could cause issues at recycling facilities. Items like holiday light strings, plastic bags, and electronics should not be put in your recycling bin, and cardboard boxes should be fully flattened before going in the bin. Residents should check their local recycling programs if they're not sure about an item. Superior First Responders will be competing to raise money for the Salvation Army this weekend. It will be the first-ever First Responder Red Kettle Challenge in the city, pitting the Superior Fire Department against the Police Department to raise money for local residents who may be struggling during the holiday season. The departments will be at the Walmart in Superior from noon to 3 on Saturday, and the winning department will get a trophy and bragging rights for the next year. The Salvation Army is hoping to raise $100,000 this season. The Hayward Community School Board approved updates for their school safety plans and safety and security assessments for all their buildings earlier this week. According to school officials, the district's previous plans had been developed in 2014 with the help of funding from a safety grant. The recent updates to the plan address some of the new building additions and renovations made since then. Superintendent Craig Olson said the exact details of the safety plans would not be made public in the interest of maintaining student safety. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie have a new show that they say will be as unforgettable as the first show they did together called, who cares? The duo is collaborating again for Peacock's new show, Paris and Nicole, The Encore. The short 3-episode series drops December 12th on Peacock. Following in the footsteps of Ross and Rachel, Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter are on a break after dating for a year due to rumors of infidelity on the part of Keoghan, who apparently has been hooking up with a TikToker, probably someone who got famous lip-syncing Carpenter songs. The influencer's name is Becky Hill, and she has 4 million followers on OnlyFans, which is somehow 5 million more than I have. People assume infidelity is the reason they split, but maybe Carpenter finally saw Saltburn and hasn't stopped vomiting. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today in the low 20s with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low in the low to mid teens. Tomorrow, a little breezy, partly cloudy, 36. We'll get to near 40 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We'll break down all things in the news and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
We'll be right back.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, we talked a little bit in the last segment about whether or not these promises that really, you know, there was a time, Sandy, when, you know, we knew how things ran in this country. Donald Trump and Project 2025 is going to attempt to make these major changes. But you say that there are checks and balances that may be strong enough to resist even this, some of these things that they're talking about.
Well, on the side of modifying how the White House runs and digging deep into the civil service with firings and appointing loyal folks, most of the checks and balances there are logistical. Okay, the ability to make appointments. So Donald Trump failed to fill all the appointments he had to make last go round,
right,
when there was like 3,500 of them. But they're talking about creating 15,000 vacancies in government and then running around and finding people competent, hopefully competent to do the job, who are also ideologically loyal to the propositions being proposed by the White House. And that's a very difficult job, okay, very hard to accomplish and very disruptive. I mean, you know, it could destroy the functioning of the government in the process. So my concerns on the executive side of the things that he can accomplish is, number one, can he actually do the things he's saying, and how disruptive could they be to the governmental processes? Everything else that he talks about that requires legislative action, changing taxes, changing who gets taxed, et cetera, will require Congress, which obviously does have some checks and balances, particularly with a razor-thin majority in the House, and with the filibuster power on the Senate side. Now, a fair number of bills that relate to funding the government are not subject to the filibuster rule, but there are at least some independent senators on the Republican side who are not necessarily going to toe the MAGA line in every way. So some of his ideas, for instance, the modification of taxing Social Security, has a huge financial impact on the budget, okay, in terms of creating deficits by a loss of revenue. And so his capacity to deliver on that promise, or the capacity to deliver on the promise regarding tip income, is one which, if it's accomplished, has the potential to have some serious negative impacts from an economic standpoint. And I think Wall Street is worried about, to the extent that it's worried about the Trump presidency, the thing it's most worried about is the fact that he might exercise power sufficient to accomplish all of these things he's talked about doing that have a fiscal impact, like reducing taxes and eliminating taxes on various portions of income and the disruption that would have caused in the societal taxation, as well as the coffers of the federal government. Of trying to control the Federal Reserve and its conduct and the tariff that he's talking about. All of these things are highly inflationary and could be very troublesome for the economy.
So, Sandy, let's for instance say, okay, he wants to get rid of 5,000 governmental employees. It's pretty safe to say one area for certain that he's going to be working on is the IRS. And so clearly with the budget deficits that the nation already has, to cut back on IRS employees is some of these things, Sandy, you can't make it up.
The deal is, it's the stuff that they talk about doing is so cynically responsive to people with wealth, right? I mean, who worries more about the IRS and audits than people who have lots of money to lose in an IRS audit, okay? And cutting back on IRS capabilities is simply going to be reflected in their inability to carry out audits. Who has the biggest outstanding audit pending right now? The president has talked about it for 8 years, how he's dealing with a big IRS audit and has been since before he entered politics. But you know, the policies that they're talking about adopting, for instance, his desire to reduce regulation of cryptocurrency, and his appointment of someone from to head the SEC, who has announced his desire to reduce regulation of cryptocurrency, certainly is unusually it's unusually clear why Donald Trump might have an interest in that, or Elon Musk might have an interest in that. Elon Musk has placed a huge bet on Doge, which is a cryptocurrency, and the Trump family business 6 months ago started a new business venture, which is premised on cryptocurrency and the value of cryptocurrency. And incidentally, the value of the Bitcoin has now exceeded $100,000 in light of the market's view that Donald Trump is going to do a whole bunch of things that are beneficial to cryptocurrency. And so, you know, all of these things are nest feathering for the very people who are in government. And many of his appointments are people who have a direct interest in the regulations that they will now be responsible for.
Well, you know, Sandy, you've been talking nonstop about for years now about one of the major problems we have is that there's not enough resources coming into the federal government to deal with the output, the outgoing,
the expenditures.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, revenue. We've reduced revenue, but we haven't reduced expenditures. And Donald Trump reduced revenue without reducing expenditures. And he's now talking about step one of his administration being to again reduce revenue. And reducing expenditures is a very tough fight, you know, and it needs to be carried out carefully so that it doesn't materially damage Tom, Dick, and Mary, right? Because ultimately, most of the programs of government are designed to support the people and to support people who need support, and to protect the people from, for instance, the FDA. It's a protective agency.
Well, Sandy, we've got this $2 trillion, you know, deficit every you know, fiscal year. And now, if he cuts back on the IRS, the entity that's supposed to go out and get those resources,
right?
Well, what are we talking about here? I mean, it's just nonsensical, Sandy. If you give it any thought, that what he's attempting to do is really only going to hurt the average American person.
Well, yeah, and then the deficits that he ran during his administration were record-breaking. And apparently, the way he ran his business included record-breaking deficits based on numerous bankruptcies that resulted from the way he operated his businesses. And I'm just concerned that we're headed in that same direction for the federal government. And we are getting to a dicier and dicier time. Mitt Romney, in his departure speech to the U.S. Senate, spent a great deal of time talking about the worries about the deficit and fiscal discipline. And whether you're a Republican or Democrat, we do need fiscal discipline. What we don't need is to exercise fiscal discipline by slashing programs that will be harmful to Tom, Dick, and Mary. What we need to do is properly focus our government expenditures on doing the things that the people of this country need. And then we need to make sure we raise the revenue to support it. And the loyal patriots in this country who have become very wealthy as the result of all of the infrastructure in this country that's designed to support people and their ability to achieve wealth ought to be eager to pay taxes rather than being the guy that Donald Trump announces he's being, which is any fool. It takes a fool to pay taxes that when they can get out of it. Okay, that was his response to not paying taxes. It's only a fool pays taxes if they can avoid it. Well, maybe a patriot pays taxes because of what this country has afforded them.
So, Sandy, is it safe to say then that what we're looking at is Donald Trump attempting to run the government of the United States as his business?
Well, it certainly seems that way. You know, everyone has always said, gosh, Wouldn't it be great to have the government run like a business? And I think running the government in a manner that is efficient in terms of how it delivers its services is a desirable outcome. If that's what running the government like a business means, what we don't want is a president who runs a government like it's his business. Okay,
right.
And I'm afraid that that's what we've seen. I mean, Jared Kushner making an immense amount of money out of a private equity fund that he's able to create with money that he gets from China and Saudi Arabia, right after he is responsible for trips to and negotiations with China and Saudi Arabian governments on behalf of the United States. And to think that cryptocurrency policy might be dictated by a president who has a big stake in having cryptocurrency be underregulated and in a position to be very valuable to someone who trades in it. I think that I talked about this last show, but I think that the corruption of K Street, the corruption that is caused by lobbyists and the way they funnel money from interest groups into campaigns is a particular form of corruption that isn't necessarily feathering the pocket of the congressman or senator themselves. That's clear corruption. But what we're seeing happening now is bright in the sunshine corruption in terms of compromised people who have compromised values being put into positions in which that compromise is apparent.
All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I know you won't keep me very long.
If you stay on topic, you'll be on the line. If you stray off the topic, well, you know.
There's different rules for
no, there's not.
Callers.
CJ, what do you want to talk about, man?
Well, as I enjoy thoroughly listening to you gentlemen, fear of the future. When we've got a disaster going on presently with this administration, it doesn't really frustrate me because this just clarifies what you gentlemen really are worried about. The disaster that's in the Oval Office right now.
Hey, CJ, this administration is over. It's basically over. We're talking about the next administration. What are your thoughts?
It's going to be amazing. He's got some great candidates, Kash Patel. Read his resume. It's going to be amazing. It already is. You're seeing changes around the world because this man believes in peace through strength and trust but verify, just like Ronald Reagan did. And the wimp in Oval Office right now falling asleep during meetings.
Hey, CJ. He's done, okay? All right? Joe Biden's presidency is basically over for all practical purposes. So there's no point in talking about that. We're talking about Donald Trump. So, Sandy, hang on the phone lines, guys. We're going to talk about five reasons why Donald Trump will govern like no president before in history. Hang on the phone lines, guys. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time, lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com. The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. And Sandy, we're going to talk a little bit about the five reasons why Donald Trump is going to, his presidency will be different than any other. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the phone lines and Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I'd like to, you know, just give the last caller, he's a typical MAGA moron out there who's just still eating the cotton candy that's being fed to him by Newsmax and Fox News. But nobody's paying attention to the fact that Xi Jinping is basically just he's already screwing us over with his big mouth. And the China has basically signed a huge trade deal with Mexico. They're screwing over the farmers now, where they came in while he was in office and bought all the farmland up. They're cutting out imports from us, which is going to hurt our export business. And it's basically just said, well, you know what? You're going to put tariffs on it. We're putting tariffs on anything you send us. Oh, and by the way, we're going to sign this huge deal with Mexico, where we get most of our vegetables and other food products. And nobody's paying attention to that. Everybody's still playing the guessing game. And we're sitting around talking about what he might do, what he could do, what guardrails are there. And while we're going to be doing that, I'll guarantee you in the first year, his little puppet masters who really direct what he does, the people that wrote Project 2025, will be in the background taking care of a lot of other things that are just going to pop up on us like a bad fever. And everybody better wake up and start really looking at what's going on, because he's already affected our economy in horrible ways that we're not even aware of yet.
All right, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I mean, the fact is that he's got a very simplistic, Trump has announced very simplistic policies, as if the United States can magically impose tariffs and the rest of the world will simply supplicate. Canada has already begun to become reactive and will find ways to react. And you know, for instance, we were all upset about the dairy tariffs they were imposing on our dairy goods, you know, and that was a big problem last time around when he imposed tariffs. You know, the world will look different and will react differently than he believes. And the world has far more resource than I think he understands to be reactive to what it is he does. And everything they do that is reactive will be damaging to us. And for instance, a tariff war with China last time resulted in us having to provide billions of dollars of relief to the agricultural sector in this country, because one of the biggest export targets for our agricultural goods is China. And so, you know, they imposed tariffs, and the amount of agricultural goods being exported suddenly dropped dramatically. Huge problem for the farm community. Well, that same thing can happen in a variety of sectors, and particularly when you impose tariffs across the board. So, we'll have to see how this gets implemented. But the world at large is, meanwhile, beginning to be, just as he pointed out, is beginning to react and is beginning to implement the things to defend themselves.
You know, let's go to Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning, guys. You know, I hope people don't listen to that, the guy that calls in all the time making Trump look like a saint, because remember, he's a felon and he's also attacked women. However, I've been watching, too, the world. The world is reacting. They saw what he did to our country last time, and they're still in shock that the people of the United States of America would vote for a felon, the one that didn't even protect the people, you know, from the coronavirus and the things that he did and the stuff that he spread and the crimes that he committed against us, the people. So wake up, folks. You better be ready, because it isn't pretty, and they're already talking about it. You need to expand your views of the whole world and not just in your little cult, because this is significant. Thank you, guys, and have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, we saw...
Well, let me speak to one thing, because I thought it was interesting with respect to caller CJ, that the person he wanted to describe as being... The one name that he described as being a great appointment was Kash Patel to the FBI, to the head of the FBI. Now, the FBI is an important agency, but why would it be so important to a MAGA Republican that someone like Kash Patel would be appointed, unless what they're talking about is the political retribution that Trump has talked about so often with respect to how he intends to deploy the Department of Justice? Because, that would be the primary impact of the appointment of someone like Kash Patel.
All right. Five reasons why Trump will govern like no other president in history. Next up on the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media sports guru Mike Clemens, Lisa O'Hearn from the Sister Bay Historical Society, and it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr joins the show with great music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. All stops, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.